All right. In Palestine, which is mostly considered present-day Israel, were several wells and cisterns. These cisterns were artificial tanks or reservoirs that were dug in earth or rock. There were bigger cisterns in more built-up areas cut out of rock, and more your backyard variety cistern in rural type areas. Summers were long and dry, and summer stretched from May through to September. So these cisterns were a way of holding rainwater for people. A cistern had rock or earth in it. It was not a nice place to be. Usually when they were empty, they were sometimes used to hold prisoners as well. One such dark pit had a teenager stuck down in it. Had this boy been able to climb out, his brothers would have just pushed him down again anyway, because they were the ones who put him down into the cistern. So he lay there, perhaps with a little voice, perhaps from screaming. It wasn't that his brothers couldn't help him. They didn't want to. They sat there above the pit, eating and drinking. It was cruel. They hated this brother down in the pit, and they also envied him. They were jealous. Their father spoilt this brother more than them. The brothers wore old clothes. This brother wore expensive clothes. The brothers ran the family business. The boy, Dad's precious son, could stay home or be involved if he wanted to. We could certainly call this family dysfunctional. The brothers had caught the boy far from home, far away from the protection of Dad. They stripped him of his fine coat and pushed him into this pit. They wanted to kill him. The young brother did eventually get out of the pit, but life was going to be hard for some time. He was to experience hardship. He was falsely accused of doing things that he didn't. He was thrown into prison again. He could have chosen to believe the lie that God had abandoned him. He could have turned away from God while he was in the pit or later on in life, but he didn't. It wasn't all bad. Life changed for the man. Years after being stuck in the pit, he became more refined. He moved up the ladder. He moved up to more of a high position in society. The opposite happened to the brothers. Over time, they became poor and weak. The young man now in a position over people, including these brothers. These brothers were the great grandsons of Abraham, the sons of Jacob, people that God's covenant passed through to all people or to people around the world. Jesus is in their family tree. The brothers, I think, are like royalty in Scripture, yet the family was dysfunctional. The boy was 37 years old, at least, before he reconnected with his brothers. He had experienced 20 years of rejection. He could have chosen to make his brothers suffer. Forget reconciliation and get revenge. Revenge sounds logical. But he didn't punish his brothers. I think revenge can sometimes sound appealing. We might enjoy movies or stories about revenge or justice being made. In Netflix, we sometimes see a category of movies called revenge. However, I've learnt that revenge and following Jesus are completely opposite things. In fact, letting Jesus take the lead through differences that I've had with people has led to reconciliation that otherwise might not have happened. I sure do pray for the Lord's help in that area. In his adulthood, the boy eventually accepted that his brothers were genuine in their repentance. And this led to a beautiful outcome of restoration. It would be quite a different story if this boy had taken revenge on his brothers through hardening his heart towards them, perhaps isolating himself from people in general, or even worse, not obeying what God had said to do. Instead, he comforted his brothers. He said, "You intended to harm me, but God intended for it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." We read about this man, Joseph, in Genesis. His suffering started in a pit. He was thrown into the dark hole and hated. His brothers tricked Jacob, his father, saying that he was dead. There seemed no chance of Dad coming to the rescue. We might find ourselves in tough situations today. It might be our finances. It might be health. It could be loneliness. It could be loss of employment. It could be damaged family relationships. Maybe we find ourselves abandoned, forgotten, or rejected for not being good enough, maybe. The pit, a kind of death, can lead us to not wanting to let anything hurt us again. I've certainly felt this myself. At times, I've thought, I can't trust anyone. I've been hurt. I've been let down or misunderstood and felt on my own. I think retreating inwards can be common. For me, it led to holding on to temporary things. I was led more by my feelings, maybe living more like a victim than a man of God. I've learnt one way or another that suffering has led me to be who I am today, and my responses affect who I am on earth and for all eternity. Suffering has opened my eyes. It made me look outside myself to Jesus. And also before I could really connect more to his mercy and his grace that he has for me. But I needed tough and real experiences. In Romans 5, Paul says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I find these promises in Romans something that I can lean on. I also find Joseph's story easy to connect to because the story isn't just nice. It doesn't dodge the presence of evil. It tells of how God is in control, but through his hands, intended evil can eventually be used for good. There's hurt, yet time and time again, God is the Redeemer. I can imagine Joseph saying the words that are in the song that I've chosen for today. I can imagine him in the pits of life saying the words that are in this song. It says, "How can I say it is well when my voice can barely speak? How can I sing you a song in the midst of suffering?" I don't profess to understand the suffering around the world or what you may be going through. I believe the dark pit that Joseph was in became a palace. The intended destruction of Joseph instead strengthened him. And other people around him could see the magnificence of our God through his responses. The brothers wove evil into Joseph's life. However, God rewove it into good. Isn't it amazing how our Lord speaks to us? I've been challenged for some weeks. You may say, I'm always challenged, and you'd be right. But lately, challenged with things that have been going on. And through this time, God has kept revealing the fact to me that he is with me and that he is in control. Even though I trusted that he was in control, I still had worry. I didn't realize for a while that, as I contemplated today's message, the song that inspired it and what I was going through was actually what today's message is about. That Jesus is in control. He is preparing me. And I can be okay through it with him. Sometimes I think we see God as cheering at the end of a difficult time. But he promises to be with us through it. You may have come across the words, "there came to pass." I think part of the meaning behind this is that through relationship with Jesus, we have a gift that helps us pass through experiences of life, whether they are good or bad. I believe our Father when he tells me to be strong and courageous, to not be afraid, to not be discouraged, for he will be with me wherever I go. Do you believe this? Do you believe he will be with you wherever you go and through it all? See, I've been repeating to myself that God is with me and he will get me through. Today's song that echoes in my mind is by a band called Jesus Culture, and they sing with a guy called Mac Brock. The song is called "Still in Control." The chorus goes, "My God is still in control, and he reigns on his throne. Though mountains may tremble and sea billows roll, I'll sing it as well with my soul. My God is still in control." God was in control throughout Joseph's life. And like Joseph's story, I believe our story is in God's word. And if we read it, we see God's promises and how we can get through our experiences with him. Daniel got through the lion's den. Jonah got through the whale's belly. And the disciples got through the storm. God gets us through stuff. He is close and not in some faraway place like Ikitahuna. He gets us through the Red Sea onto dry ground, through the wilderness and through the shadow of the valley of death. I haven't read anywhere that we won't struggle. But I do believe that God will reweave our hurt for a higher purpose. He can use our mess for good. It might be natural to respond to challenges with why. Why me? But like Joseph, I want to have an attitude that looks towards what is ahead as much as I can. And to do this with my eyes on Jesus. The writer of Hebrews tells us to walk with our eyes on Jesus. The Greek words used in the Hebrews describe a way and to look. The meaning is to take our eyes away from all other things to concentrate on one. How I see it, Joseph's main concern was what God thought. He knew he was dependent on God, and he knew he was accountable to God. Perhaps you can relate to some of Joseph's experiences as well. Maybe you've been punished for doing the right thing, abandoned or deeply challenged by experiences that you've had. Notice Joseph's response to each of the troubling experiences that pushed him backwards. He looked towards what was ahead. I hope we can find a Joseph attitude towards our experiences as well. So three key things that I've learned from Joseph. One, we should run the race with our eyes fixed on Jesus. Two, with God, any situation can be used for good, even if it was intended for evil. And three, in the midst of tough stuff, our prayer can be, Father, what do I do now? I believe we don't need to figure out what our next step is by ourselves. We can approach people who love Jesus and pray together with them to our Father for help. Shortly you'll hear the song, Still in Control. And then we'll share some songs together as well. But remember, this is a place of prayer. A place where we lean into each other because we are family. As we worship this morning, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. You may feel him nudging you this morning to step forward and confess doubts or fears or worries. Tap someone on the shoulder this morning and come forward or over to the cross.
say it as well. When my voice can barely speak, how can I sing you a song in the midst of suffering? Jesus, will you meet me here? Let your peace wash over me, 'cause I need you now more than ever. Teach my soul to sing. My God is still in control, and still he reigns on his throne. Though mountains may tremble and sea billows roll, I'll sing it is well with my soul. My God is still in control. I'll sing.